Connection.
Now connecting. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Connected.
Now connecting. 1240 WJIM.
Connected.
Now connecting. 94.9 MMQ.
Connected.
This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. A tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your host, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC.
Hudson Incorporated. Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson. Price Right RV. MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine. Doubting Industries. Shupan & Sons Recycling Industrial Services. Gravity Smokehouse. Chandler's Top Shell. A2C Gutters. Alumni Hall. B&M Trailer Services. Eat on the West Side. Jersey Mike's. Pizza House. And Gazelle Wealth Management.
Now, Fanfest at the stadium in the Price Right RV Studios.
This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Coming to you live from the Fan Fest area of Munfield, just southwest of Spartan Stadium. It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and the Lansing Sports Network, lansingsportsnetwork.com. The Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is presented by Whitelaw PLLC. Jamie White is a proud Spartan, and he's built his full-service, nationally recognized law firm with a team of experienced trial attorneys. Whitelaw PLLC's track record speaks for itself with more than $1.4 billion worth of results. Whitelaw PLLC, fighting for their clients is their highest priority. WhitelawPLLC.com. The Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is broadcasting live from the Price Right RV Mobile Studio here on Munfield. Price Right RV, own your vacation. 2022 and 23 model year-end clearance is going on now at PriceRightRV.com. Go green, go white, go Price Right. This hour of the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is brought to you by Shupan & Sons Recycling Industrial Services. Shupan & Sons is the leading metals and plastics processor, recycler, and manufacturer. Shupan & Sons is hiring now for a number of different positions. Apply now at shupan.com. That's S-C-H-U-P-A-N.com. What's up, everybody? I'm Beanie. You can hear me weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. on my show. It's called Offensive Minded on Lansing's only sports station, the Game, 7:30 a.m. And, of course, I'm joined by the Dean of Sports himself, Tim Stout, heard daily 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., also on the Game, 7:30 a.m. That's Stout on Sports. Been running for 30-plus years. And thanks also to Brock Palmbush, who's back at our Price Right RV home studio, keeping you updated on traffic conditions. Tim, all right, what did we learn last week when State opened the season with a 31-7 win over Central Michigan?
There we go.
Sorry, try again.
Should I try that again?
Yeah, my bad.
Well, not hearing what I have to say isn't a loss to humanity. It's not like the, you know, society's worse off for it. The game played out exactly the way I think a lot of people thought it was going to play out. There'd be some adjustments in the first half. The game would be competitive in the first half. Things would settle down a bit and adjust after halftime. I thought all of that played exactly the way it was supposed to play. I remember telling Brock 34-13, it was 31-7, one way or the other. I didn't learn, frankly, much more. To use Dan Campbell's line, that verified what I thought in the first place going into the first game, where you're not going to know much long-term about how the last 10 games might play out. I think the same thing's going to happen today. This, to me, looks like something like 43-6, 45-0, something like that. You can't get some kind of a betting line on this anywhere in America unless you and I want to come up with our own, other than the fact that Michigan State is a heavy favorite in this game over Richmond. But the Saturdays in September in 2023 in East Lansing are pretty good because there are four consecutive home games. And by the way, the energy might ratchet up a little bit beginning next week with Washington. These are kind of spring training for the fans here to get ready for next week with a 5 o'clock kick. So that's, what is that, happy hour, 5 o'clock
that's
for the fans? And next week, alcohol's around here inside and outside the stadium. And then after that's the Big Ten opener with Maryland on the 23rd. Weather looks good all the way through the month, so we'll hope it stays that way. But it's a festive crowd again today because it's a home football game in East Lansing in September. For 100 years, have been a big deal around here no matter who Michigan State plays.
Come out and see us here at the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show. We are in the Meyer Fan Fest area on Munn Field. That's just south of Munn Ice Arena. We're giving stuff away. Of course, we've got some tickets to MSU versus Richmond to give out to the people who come out and see us. And we also have another opportunity for you to win tickets to the Michigan Renaissance Festival. That sounds like something you go to, Tim.
I almost will try almost anything once, especially in the state, especially when the weather's good.
Is it true you were alive during the actual Renaissance period?
I was. I learned it at a young age. But I also was alive when it used to be that college football was little more than you just drove over and parked. Mm. You wore more formal clothing. You went in, watched the game, and you went home. Now it's almost, at least at this level, a day-long activity, yeah, depending on the kick. I like these 3:30 times better than anything else. I always thought Notre Dame had a great advantage with NBC because their games never started till 2:30 or 3:30. So everybody associated could party all day long. They didn't have to get up at dawn. They could have a fun night the night before without having to get up at dawn. They get the middle of the afternoon, and by the time that's over, it's kind of the end of the day. You have a nightcap and, you know, there go the Irish.
That's one, like, positive to the new TV deal here. Not as many noon kicks unless you're Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State, right? Because they're trying to make that the premium spot for Fox.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for fans, and there are a number of fans that don't like the night games of last week. In fact, there's a big story today making the rounds about Friday night college football, which is going to come more and more and more to the Big Ten. And Tom Allen of Indiana, who was a high school coach of note in Indiana for years before he joined the Indiana staff, his team played last night against another in-state school, Indiana State, and he said, you can't hardly find a college football coach in America who wants to play on Friday night. Friday night in America is for high school football. That said, I don't think that's going to change, especially when you add Oregon, Washington, Southern Cal, and UCLA. You can see Friday night games coming on the West Coast that will start at around 10 o'clock after the Michigan high school games are over. I don't think it's really hurt, to be honest with you, Michigan high school football. I think people are going to go to high school games here are going to go. How many people didn't go last night because they stayed home to watch either Illinois at Kansas or Indiana State at Indiana?
Yeah.
But the days in America, with all these games having to be televised, there is not enough inventory, as you know, on Saturday. Sunday's off the chart for the NFL. That leaves Thursday, which we've got. Yep. Wednesday and Tuesday's the MAC gets in November, because that's the only place you can put them. But I think Friday night, you're still going to see a number of these games. Michigan State explains away Labor Day weekend, and accurately so, by saying the high schools in Michigan generally play most of those games on Thursday, Labor mm-hmm. Day weekend.
The Big 12 last year played several games, conference games, in the decisive part of the season on Friday night, and their commissioner, Brett Yormark, who's a very outside-the-box thinker, that's why the Big 12 has survived, while the Pac-2 is dwindling, more on that later. They're playing more and more games on Friday. He wants to put marquee matchups on Friday night as a permanent thing going forward, so I suspect you're right, Tim, that this whole Friday being sacrosanct for high school football is a thing that's going to deteriorate the more we go here, because TV's driving the bus, and the Big 12, which is mostly a Texas product, can we agree, like a Great Plains area and certainly Texas,
yeah,
if they're playing games on Friday night, well, who else is above that, right?
Well, talking with Luanna Simon, the MSU president, for years, she never liked night games. A lot of the people who come to Michigan State games are not living in the immediate Lansing area, let alone the students. Those who do, well, you know, they're going to get home probably at a reasonable hour. The irony of this was last Friday night for Central Michigan, we left at the 9-minute mark at 31-7, figuring, well, mm-hmm. it's good, we'll beat the traffic. That idea was not alone to us. That was the biggest traffic jam. There had to be 25,000 people who left at the same time, realized. So there was a jam getting out at the 9-minute mark. In those types of games, almost anymore, if you stay to the bitter end, you got no trouble getting out of here, because everybody, and I think you're going to see that today too, because it'll be around 7 o'clock if you wait to the bitter end, assuming Richmond is hopelessly behind, mm-hmm. and the backup players are in the game, and you're just trying to run out the clock. My guess is around the 6:30 time tonight, you'll see a number of people go, especially from the out of town area, because you want to get home before dark. So, but I like 3:30. I mean,
You know, me too.
I can remember when, we'll have, I don't know when the first noon, is Maryland noon? Do we have Maryland's kick time yet 2 weeks from now? We must have, my guess is that's around noon, or, you know, they haven't got one that's assigned to noon.
Guys, it's 3:30.
Is that 3:30?
Yeah, the first noon game, Brock is right. The first noon game with an announced time is at Rutgers on October 14th.
Well, that isn't as bad because we're in the studio for that. But I can remember days in November for noon games when we come over here with snowsuits on and snowshoes and come over here at dawn when nobody was here. Because obviously, tailgating at Michigan State or any Big Ten school is a lot dependent on the weather. Well, September's good. People are going to come over here and have a great time. And it doesn't matter who they're playing. And, you know, where we are here at the Meyer Fan Fest. And by the way, we thank Michigan State. They've given us the best facilities this year we've ever had since I've been here. Or maybe that's because you're involved. But at any rate, you know, there are a lot of people on campus already, and many of these people may not even stay for the game. They may be just over here for a picnic and a party, and then we'll go home and watch the game.
This is one of those days for sure.
I always get a kick out of walking by all these people who put tents up and tailgate to see who has the most elaborate, luxurious setup. And every year they seem to be more intricate. That, you know, from the electronics involved with not one TV screen, two TV screens.
I see people with those Elon Musk satellites, Starlink satellites.
I mean, it's better than the homes they live in. And then they, you know, the vans they bring over here. I mean, it's an enormous deal to have a super duper tailgate. We have callers on a radio show during the week, and they had said, well, you know, I've been tailgating over there for 32 years now, and I can imagine. I said, have you missed a game? No, I haven't missed a game. And I said, well, there's been a lot of terrible weather. You know, we got heaters. And it's a way of life for a lot of these people that it isn't just going to the game and hope the Spartans win. It's going to the game and making a big day out of it. And Meyer, of course, is involved with this now because over here these fans have got all kinds of games for kids to play. And it's a day-long activity now, which you really can't do with any other college sport.
That's a good point.
It's football. It's all football in the fall, especially in September. And Michigan State's first four games, just like Michigan, are all home this fall.
So let's go to the first home game. We talked about this a little bit last week. What did we learn? Hard to gauge in this part of the season against these kinds of opponents. But I think it's fair to say that, we saw some signs of progress in some concern areas, but we also saw some signs of, you know, growing pains going forward. And I think most glaring, we saw some signs of continued frustration. So specifically, Michigan State's offensive line, which was an issue all last season, mostly because of health, right? And we've heard Mel Tucker say time and again, they couldn't even practice right last year because they didn't have enough bodies healthy enough to run practice the normal way. So last week, Michigan State's offensive line, pretty healthy. Nick Samak's an issue, but for the most part, in much better shape than a year ago, and still did not get consistent push on a Central Michigan front seven, which, although good by MAC standards, we need to remember is still a group of five opponent with not many players recruited from a Power Five conference.
No, and I think in some ways, ironically enough, the most controversial play coming out of that game was the opening kickoff and the aftermath medically, and I have, in all my years around here, I have never experienced where the university had its medical staff release a detailed news statement of its reasoning for allowing a player who was carted off on the first play to return to play briefly later in the game. And I said to Fred at the time, my guess is there's been some criticism over there, warranted or not. But last night I saw the play for the first time.
Oh, really? You hadn't seen it?
Hat to hat. Had I seen that the first time, because I didn't know how he got hurt. I thought this was something.
You were here, right?
I was up right over the top of it. Right. I was in the seventh row. It was in a sweep.
We're on the broadcast, down. It was plain as day what happened.
Yeah. No, I looked down and, you know, and then all of a sudden we got six doctors around this guy. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, is it his knee? Is it his? But usually I'm worried about a guy's spine. And then when I see the cart bring out the board, and they put him on, I figure, well, the guy's got a spine issue right here. Hopefully he's okay. And I saw him wiggling a few things. But then when I saw first of all, I don't know why it wasn't targeting on somebody. I mean, that was his pure helmet to helmet. How the Central guy came out of that unscathed, given the collision that there occurred. But then I don't think the medical staff, this is a new issue now, the medical staff everywhere, certainly in Michigan State, is going to have an opportunity to view the plays again, because I think, I'm not a doctor, and look, Jeffrey Covan is the highest regarded doctor. Everybody in the medical profession who knows him thinks the world of him. Michigan State would not have him or any of those other people on staff if they had no confidence in him. Like he stated in his statement, all of his symptoms and his mannerisms were normal.
Right.
Okay, but then, you know, he was changed a bit, so they held him out. The next day, as the statement said, he had some mild concussive symptoms, mild.
Well, hang on, let's go back a little bit, because a few years ago with this North End Zone expansion, they put in a head trauma unit in
right.
the stadium, which is necessary in football nowadays. And that was a big part of it. He cleared scans, too. This wasn't just a, hey, follow my finger. No, they scanned multiple times, and there were no symptoms. So he gets back in the game, and later on, they take him out again. And the next day, now he's in concussion protocol.
Right.
But if you saw on the broadcast, he had that telltale sign of head trauma after the hit, when he went into what's called the fencing position.
Right.
When those arms lock up. And that's a scary thing, obviously, to witness, and you see it a lot in the NFL, unfortunately. I'm with you. It's easy for us to say because we saw the replay, and as the statement indicated from the school, they did not see the replay first. And that's probably something that has to change going forward.
I mean, when everybody else in the world who follows the game saw the play, but I didn't see the actual helmet close up till last night. I thought, oh man, this guy did. But I was curious how the central kid didn't get hurt because he just seemed to get away from it. Nonetheless, he's been in concussion protocol this week, whatever that means. I'd be, I guess, a little bit surprised if he plays today, mainly because you don't need him.
Right. By the way, we should name the kid. Alante Brown.
Okay.
The transfer from Nebraska.
And like they say, all these guys want to go back in and play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not saying, oh, you better hold me out, unless it's last night in those two Big Ten games, I saw a couple of hits that rivaled those hits. The bigger problem to me is I still think the rules makers in college football can't figure out how to deal with helmet-to-helmet contact. Is it just that's the way it is? Is it inadvertent? Is it targeting? Is it a personal foul only? Do you keep him in? Do you kick him out? I don't think this has been solved all the way around the board. So there was a kid last night was it Kansas. He got kicked out of the game.
Yes.
And it was helmet to helmet.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. But it was the same type of collision that Alante Brown had with a kid from Central Michigan. And, you know, when those guys look into those video monitors down on the field and get behind the cape and all that, I think, what's going through this guy's head? This guy can determine who wins or loses the game by who he likes or doesn't like.
And next week's game.
Yeah, because nobody can argue with him.
Right? Because you do it in the second half, you're out the first half of the next week.
You're out the first half of the next week, so that kid's out of the game. I just don't think they figured out yet how are we going to make this uniform across the board. Now, the good news is it looks like Alante Brown's going to be fine.
Yep.
I don't know. Let's see, 2 hours before kickoff, they have to, now it's new at Michigan State, you must have your eligibility list
right.
public.
Big Ten doing a little NFL.
Although they can still say questionable, which means that they literally don't know until they watch a kid warm up. That was an issue, you know, with Kelsey for Kansas City the other night. They wanted to watch him warm up, and he couldn't put any weight on anything, so no, he's out, but they were hoping to have it. So collegially, it's the same way, and at Michigan State's the same way. But given the fact that Alante Brown is not needed today, and Washington is a whole different type of opponent next week, I would think that focus today is let's play as cleanly as we can, let's get some backup players into the game, you know what I mean? Let's make this a no-issue game so that everybody's got all hands on deck ready for next week.
Yeah.
And the next 10 games, for that matter.
Yeah, final dress rehearsal before the first true opponent, a measuring stick kind of game against Washington next week. I think that's right. It's mostly just a take care of business and get out unscathed thing. But I do also think this offensive line could really use a game where they impose their will on another opponent, right? And this is exactly what the doctor ordered. We'll get to that more.
There were two fourth and ones where the line alone couldn't push them out of the way.
Not that the coordinators and coaches are helping them, though.
No, not that they're helping them.
5 yards back in a shotgun formation.
I mean, I'm willing to give them my cell phone number when next time it's fourth and one, and I'll call the play, and I'll tell the quarterback, you can call anything you want as long as it's not a handoff into the teeth of the defense. Now, if you had a line that can push them all backwards, well, then that's fine. You only need a yard. But they had fourth and one against Central Michigan, as they had how many fourth downs last year in a yard or two and couldn't get it any single time. I think that's an issue. But But like you say, and like I've always felt, I don't care how you play against Central Michigan. If you win big, it's expected. If you don't win big, uh-oh, we got a problem.
Exactly.
I thought Central's biggest hurdle was they didn't have any speed. The quarterback had no speed. He had no receivers with speed.
He had speed. The quarterback did.
Just to get out of the way.
Yeah, pretty elusive guy. I mean, he could be a special player if he could throw, but they just don't believe in the forward pass for some reason.
But I think that's because they can't do it. They don't have anybody can get separation downfield. The one time they did was the touchdown in the left corner of the end zone, and they had someone
wide open on their fourth and goal where he slipped.
He slipped and fell.
There was a guy camped out in the end zone basically just all by himself.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, the attention of the quarterback.
I mean, I asked myself after the game, where do you think Central's going to finish this year?
Now, my guess is to finish fourth in their half of the match.
So that's probably a losing record. They play New Hampshire
today. They went 4-8 last year.
So I'm guessing they'll beat New Hampshire, and then after that, they're going to have a tough time because they're going to Notre Dame. And if you thought State was tough, just wait till they go to Notre Dame next week. But nonetheless, like everything else, are you going to improve from week one to week two to three to four to five? And that's when attrition starts to come into play. Or do you have younger players who make their mark, who can help us, who we didn't know were going to help us because they hadn't played yet. Now they've played. Now they're going to be an integral part. I can't tell whether State's running backs, and I'm going to do it today. I don't care if one of them runs for 300 yards. He did it against Richmond. Richmond lost to Morgan State at home last week and scored one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not anticipating a lot of drama today.
No, but they could use it offensively up front to push someone around and have a big day on the ground, which they didn't really last week. They averaged 4.1 yards per carry against a group of five.
I think the other thing, that to your point before you go to break on the offensive line, which I noticed right away, Noah Kim's not physically as big as I thought he was.
Right.
He's slight of, you know, what is he, 180 pounds?
That's 6'2". What they list him as.
So
I'm really thinking he's 180 pounds.
That offensive line, when they get up against a defense and they're going to play some defenses that are formidable physically, can they protect him? He has got to get protected, and it was difficult for Peyton Thorne to be protected fully a year ago.
And let's remember, as Chris Solari from the Free Press, who covers Michigan State, points out, Noah Kim, if he were the starter last year, would have far and away been the lightest starting quarterback in the Big Ten. It's something to bring up. And speaking of Kim, bearing the lead there, a shaky start, Boo Birds come out. He's spoken in the media this week that actually motivated the guys on the sideline, getting booed by their own fans. Apparently, Tucker told them ahead of the game, hey, listen, you start out slow, you're going to get booed. It happened, and it was a cold start. But then, right before the half, Central scored to go up 7-3, and it kind of forced Michigan State to loosen up and maybe show more of the playbook than they cared to in the first two games. And that brings us to the drive of the game presented by Hudson Inc.
It's time for the drive of the game, powered by Hudson Inc.
So after a frustrating opening 28 minutes, and with CMU having just taken that 7-3 lead, State gets the ball back with a minute 45 left. It turns out that was more than enough time for Noah Kim and company. He got to work, completed 4 or 6 passes on the ensuing drive, including back-to-back chunk play receptions by Jerron Glover, capped off by a touchdown run from the newcomer, Nathan Carter, the UConn transfer. Let's take a listen. Sound courtesy of Fox Sports 1.
The crowd may have wanted a flag for a late hit, not to be in.
This one is going to be caught inside the 5 by Glover again. He's got it at the 3.
By Glover, it's the double move, right? We used to call that the Dino. The out and then the up. He gloves that one really fast if I were him.
Up the gut, second effort, touchdown. Nathan Carter.
He had 405 yards on 65 carries a year ago. He's been good tonight. Very solid.
The drive covered 84 yards in 7 plays and took just 57 seconds and finally got MSU's offense cooking en route to a 31-7 season opening win over those seemingly always hanging around Chippewas. Before that drive, Tim, Kim was just 3 for 11 with 29 yards on the night.
He overthrew some passes. He had some guys open. I can't judge all these guys so I see them play the talent that they're going to have to compete against to have a successful season.
Agreed.
And that begins next week.
Agreed. But obviously the urgency of that moment got him into a rhythm, and that helped. And he started dropping some nice dimes, although, like you said, against a group of five opponents.
But I think he had three great catches by three receivers. When they lost Coleman and they lost Jaden Reed, I thought, everybody thinks this. But I said, the three guys they've got around him, those guys are good athletes. They have experience. They had success at times last year. And I thought, frankly, the touchdown passes that State had were more the result of the receiver making a good catch, as opposed to how could he drop that thing? It's right in there.
I don't know. He seemed real. I thought he was pretty accurate. I was impressed. He's a better thrower than I thought. And his best throw, I thought, was not a completion. The Hail Mary attempt just before time expired in the first half. You know, a Hail Mary, a guy usually launches it up to scrape God's toenails, right? He threw a 60-yard Hail Mary on a line. I mean, it was beautiful. And they had a chance at it. Hit the guy in the chest. He just misjudged it. Glover again. So Kim finishes the night 18 for 31, 279 yards through the air, two touchdowns, no picks in his first ever collegiate start. And that was a huge possession, which is why it's the drive of the game here on the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show, brought to you by Hudson Inc. Hudson Inc., it's time to gear up for fall with a John Deere compact trailer from Hudson. 0% financing for 84 months on select tractors at Hudson Inc. Hudson Inc. has 19 locations in Michigan, including four right here in the Lansing area: Charlotte, Mason, Portland, and Williamson. Visit Hudson Inc. online at HudsonInc.com. As we go to break, I want to say thanks to our sponsors here on the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show, which is also brought to you by Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, Price Right RV, MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine, Doubting Industries, Shupan and Sons Recycling Industrial Services, and Gravity Smokehouse. We're back with more Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show live here from Munfield after these words.
Want to be heard? Open the Lansing Sports Network app and voice your sports opinions now. More from the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show next. Another travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Next. The Tigers' Den is right here. Catch the fever of Detroit Tigers baseball all season long on 1240 WJIM. Never miss another pitch again on Lansing's exclusive home for Detroit Tigers baseball, 1240 WJIM, the flagship station of the Lansing Sports Network. Find game times and more in the Lansing Sports Network app. Brought to you by Whitelaw PLLC. Let Jamie and his team take the fight off your shoulders with WhitelawPLLC.com. It's another game day travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Here's Brock Palmbush.
No backups or accidents to report at this time. Traffic, you can expect delays right around the construction areas, 496 both directions between Lansing Road and Grand Avenue. That construction is going to continue until November. Also, going in westbound between westbound 96, that is, between Weberville and Williamston. And also, traffic, you can expect slowdowns at some point on 69 going westbound between M52 and 127. That's due to construction at the Peacock Road exit. Taking a look at the weather, it's overcast. The sun's trying to peek through. It's 65 degrees right now, although it's going to clear up and get to 72 degrees by the time we get to kickoff. Game day traffic and weather brought to you by Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, home of the $3,000 minimum trade.
This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, with your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell, powered by Whitelaw PLLC. Now, from FanFest at the stadium and the Price Right RV Studios, this is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Coming to you live from the FanFest area of Munfield, just southwest of Spartan Stadium. Welcome back to the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show here on 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Also on the Lansing Sports Network, LansingSportsNetwork.com. This hour of the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is brought to you by Shupan and Sons Recycling Industrial Services, as we broadcast live from the Price Right RV Mobile Studio here on Munfield.
Can I ask you a question before we start this segment?
Yeah.
which of the following two scores is the bigger shock to you at the moment? 1 minute to go in the first quarter. National champion Georgia, nothing. Ball State, nothing. Consider that. Or 6 minutes to go, first quarter, Columbus. Youngstown State, 7. Ohio State, 7.
I guess I would just go with Georgia because we saw Ohio State look incredibly mortal last week in Bloomington, right?
If I was Ball State, I'd wave the white flag, take them off the field, say subtract the check a little bit. We're getting out of here with a tie. We held them scoreless.
Hang a banner over that.
That to me is incredible that Ball State and Georgia are 0-0 in Athens with 1 minute to go in the first quarter.
This is why you're the Dean of Sports, man, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go through some current scores right now. Fly around the country, top 25, as they would say, next door here in the stadium.
Oh, we got the big one, too.
Okay.
Nebraska-Colorado, no score, with 3:57 to go first quarter. Colorado's got the ball at its own 47-yard line. And Beanie told me, Whittle Brock here says, you picked Nebraska to win that game.
I did.
Just telling you, Coach Prime's got receipts on that.
I know he does. And, wow, can we talk about what an embarrassing circus this has become? He's lecturing reporters in the press conference for not drinking his bathwater. Look, I understand the guy is basically a professional wrestler come to college coaching. It's a cult of personality thing. But what are we doing anymore? Like, he's up there scolding Ed Werder. Ed Werder's like 80. I don't even know if Ed Werder knows who Ed Werder is.
Part of the shtick.
But Deion Sanders, he knows. You didn't believe. I saw what you wrote. Do you believe now? And Ed Werder said, no, I'm a reporter. And he said, you still don't believe.
If Deion was here, I'd point out about six people that are in those press conferences here, and I'd say, Deion, get after that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, and that one.
I
love the guy.
Well, okay, that's fine. I think he's good for college football because it's a story and it's interesting, and I'm all for that. But what are we doing? It's reached comical levels, and I'm watching Big Noon Kickoff, and then when I'm heading in this morning, I'm listening to it on the Sirius feed. Dude, it's Fox's Big Noon Kickoff presented by the Kremlin. It's propaganda level coverage, and every time there's any college football talk show, whether it's Fox or ESPN, it's like Deion Sanders' bathwater is being served exclusively as the
on-tap
beverage.
But for all of the criticism that guys like Saban and Kirby Smart and Jim Harbaugh get, and they win, and here's a guy that takes over a 1-11 team, blah blah blah. He comes from a background of a minority school, gets success there, helps these players, and all that. Okay, so how many people in America who follow college football who have absolutely no interest in the University of Colorado aren't rooting for this guy? Everybody's a I'm a Colorado fan.
Snoop Dogg's a Colorado fan.
Terrell Owens is on the sidelines there among everybody. Colorado went a year ago from barely having enough people to sell season tickets. Today, those things are scalped at about $2,000 for the home opening game. Doesn't cheat to do it. That's the other classic. Not that I know of.
You don't need to do that anymore. It's legalized. And Deion, by the way, they signed him without having the money to do it. And the AD just said, I know we'll get the money. And they're right, because somehow the Colorado donors raised almost $3 million to pay the rest of his deal. That is just shocking to me. But I'm support, whatever. I mean, if it works on the field, great. I'm just saying I don't know if it will yet. I mean, and I'm not going to wear a Deion Coach Prime jersey like every broadcaster in this industry yet. Sorry.
But it's clear that America's college football schools and administrators are going to be very careful to watch how how this plays out for him. The thing he did was he used the transfer. He looked at who he had, and the guy was a great player. He said, "Man, there's a reason you're 1-11." I mean, with the way the game is, if the game didn't have the portal and NIL, I don't think he'd have a lot of those guys. Okay, that's the state of the game today.
For sure.
They're
all
watching to see. Now look. If they win today, and it's still nothing, although they're moving, they're at the Nebraska 45. But if they win today, they got Colorado State next week. So if you assume that, they're 3-0. Okay, then they
Tim. That's Michigan State.
Yeah, but Colorado State's awful.
Well, Colorado.
They're awful.
But
then he gets Oregon and Southern Cal. Okay, so now, but you realize the network that gets the Colorado-Oregon game. And any other year, Colorado-Oregon, nobody sneezes at. And any other year, Colorado-Southern Cal, nobody pays attention to. Look at this year, the interest that game, those games are going to have. Well, now, yeah. If he loses today, that'll take a little luster off the rose. Because if you saw Nebraska play Minnesota, it was the same old at Nebraska. Same old.
Well, that's why I picked Nebraska. Because I believe you're going to see on the field today an actual bona fide proven college football coach who is really good at what he does and excellent in game and on the field in X's and O's against a glorified cheerleader marketer. And I'm not saying it won't work because that's where we're headed. Like, the coaches are turning more into like these CEO marketing types of college football programs.
I just texted Coach Prime because he and I are tight. And I said, Prime, you ought to hear what I'm listening from this guy next. I'm going to get you all the receipts on him so that you can deal with this in your own way, with your own people moving down the road.
I would pay good money to just be a fly on the wall in a Tim Stout Coach Prime conversation.
By the way, did you hear
it'd be like listening to someone speak Chinese and Greek.
Did you hear his pregame press conference, pregame speech to
today?
The players?
Yes.
No, last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't long. It wasn't Rockne. But I'll tell you what, I was ready to strap it up and go.
Yeah, you would run through a wall for Coach Prime?
I was ready to go for Coach Prime.
But would you switch your insurance to Aflac, too? Look, I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying I need to see a little bit more before I start cheering for the guy like I'm a Colorado fan. That's
I mean,
all.
I'm ready to fire Kirby Smart. Georgia is the end of the first quarter, and Georgia can't score against Ball State. And by the way, they might miss the Stetson Bennett. They might miss the. If Georgia can't score at home in the first quarter against Ball State, is there hope for other schools in America for the national? Does that give hope to Michigan? Does that give hope to Michigan?
Well, for sure. Let's continue down the scoreboard here, okay? Update in Columbus. Ohio State has taken a lead 14-7 with a minute 20 left in the first.
Well, you can only hope to contain the Bucks. You can't stop them.
And let's move on to
Penn State, Delaware.
Yes.
Have you got that one?
The best team top to bottom in the Big Ten. I'm talking about the roster. I don't know if it'll shake out that way in 3 months' time. The number 7 Nittany Lions are up 13-0 with 2 minutes left in the first quarter over the Blue Hens of Delaware. Now, will this be the first of two times that Penn State beats a blue and yellow team with a winged helmet in state colleges here?
Well, I mean, that's a big one coming up. And Notre Dame's kicked a field goal. It is, late first quarter. They're at my son's at that game today, North Carolina State. Notre Dame 3, North Carolina State nothing.
I laid the points on that one. It was up to 7.5. I just think, you know, Notre Dame's obviously really good. And that quarterback knows NC State intimately as he's, he threw for like a billion yards in the ACC.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but you're the first person I've heard after asking 10 million people who'd you pick for Colorado-Nebraska today, and they all – by the way, I can't believe that game's a 3.5-point line.
Well, that's why I picked him. I'm talking – like, it was down to 2.5 yesterday, and then this morning I saw it at 3. Is it back to 3.5 before kickoff?
It was 3.5.
By the way, that's what I got it at.
Have you seen Colorado's campus?
Yeah, Boulder's awesome.
It's as gorgeous a campus as there is in the United States. I mean, we were there, 2 summers ago, and we were just touring Colorado. So I said, let's go up to Boulder because it's a suburb of Denver. But when I saw that location, I said, how do these guys not get every player they ever want in a world where it's pay me what you're going to pay me or I'm going elsewhere? But that campus, you know, and the stadium's got a lot of ambiance to it because it's an old stadium. But the mountain views outside of that thing are amazing. I wonder what Tucker thinks of that. He was there. He saw how tough it was. He was there 1 year and bailed after going 5-7, and then look at the Pac-12 landscape of the schools that they – I mean, look how good that league was with Utah, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Even at times, Arizona State, Southern Cal, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, and at times Stanford.
Conference of Champions.
Well, what were they? 13-0 last week.
Isn't that wild? They're in the swan song year. They're the first ones to go 13-0
last week. But that's part of, to me, what's the great part of college football. There's so many things, so many storylines every single week. Every week there are great storylines, one way or the other, across the board.
My favorite storyline in week one was watching Utah just destroy Florida, and every break there was a commercial about the Conference of Champions.
That stadium's cool. That look on that campus, I haven't seen
pretty
Utah,
nice.
But it looked pretty nice to me.
Also, have you seen the Air Forces in Colorado Springs?
I have been there.
Me too.
I've
That's
seen
an
that.
Awesome one. Hey, you know what? Next week, Colorado at Colorado State, right? You should watch that because Colorado State Stadium is basically built in the side of one of those mountains,
The Air
too.
Force Academy Stadium's big time. The best part about that is after the game, you can drive next door and look at the landing strip and watch all those jets come in and out where all of the cadets are learning how to fly. It's right next door to the stadium there. The stadium's gorgeous.
Hey, speaking of, you mentioned Utah there in the Pac-12 talk we just went into. Number 12, Utah is scoreless at 0-1 Baylor, and the first quarter has 8 seconds left to go. Baylor losing at home to Texas State last week. Yikes. Let's move on. More Big 12 scores. Number 15, Kansas State is up 7-0 over Troy with about 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And we can update Colorado and Nebraska one more time before we wrap it up here.
Colorado didn't score on that drive.
They did not. They punted from Nebraska's 45. Not a very Coach Prime move.
Ah, nuts. Georgia scored at 7-0 early second quarter over Ball State.
And we're still scoreless in Boulder, 0-0.
And Delaware just scored against Penn State. 14, I think 7. It says 6 here, but that's because it's got to update the extra point kick.
Very good. All right, I think we're waiting for MSU President Teresa Woodruff to join us, right?
So you want to make a break now and get that out of the way, or do you not want to do
a
break
Brock,
now?
Yeah, can we go to break? Let's do that. Let's go to break. Say that again, Nathan. Oh, we'll go to break then.
Yeah.
We'll take a break here on the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show. But before I do, let me remind you of some more of our great sponsors here. We want to thank them. Chandler's Top Shelf, A to Z Gutters, Alumni Hall, B&M Trailer Sales, Meat on the West Side, Jersey Mike Subs in Okemos, Pizza House, and Gazelle Wealth Manager. We're back with MSU President Teresa Woodruff on the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show after these words.
Want to be heard? Open the Lansing Sports Network app and voice your sports opinions now. More from the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show next. Back with more of the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM and 94.9 MMQ in less than 60 seconds. The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app, powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Chupan & Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf. It's another game day travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Here's Brock Palmbush.
No accidents to report at this time. Traffic is slowing up a bit coming in from the west side, 496 eastbound between Kreitz Road and Grand Avenue. That's where that construction is going on, 496 both directions between Lansing Road and Grand Avenue. That'll be active until mid-November. It's also slower than normal in another construction area, 96 westbound between Weberville and Williamston. There was a shoulder closure there. That's for another week or so. Taking a look at your weather, it's overcast right now, although the sun's trying to peek through, 65 degrees. It will clear up once we get to kickoff at 3:30, become partly sunny, a high of 72 degrees. Game day traffic and weather brought to you by Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, home of the $3,000 minimum trade.
This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, with your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell, powered by Whitelaw PLLC. Now from FanFest at the Stadium in the Price Right RV Studios, this is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Welcome back to the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show, broadcasting live here from the Price Right RV Mobile Studio at the Meyer FanFest area of Munn Field, just southwest of Spartan Stadium, of course, as we count down to MSU versus Richmond today. And we're joined by MSU President Teresa Woodruff. Thanks for being here. How are you doing?
I'm so glad to be with you here again today after a great win last week.
Yeah.
So we didn't insult you enough or embarrass you enough last week. You've opted to come back and visit with us again.
I love you guys, and I love Spartan football, and it's been a great day. I've already been out with our Spartan alumni marching band, 450 alumni.
Did you know I'm Of which, no, I had no idea.
Well, the trombones blew us away today. They had a section that just blew the lid off the place, and it was a lot of fun. It's the 53rd year. You probably know this, then. 53rd
of
year
alumni band?
Of alumni band.
Yeah, so how many people are here today for that?
450 alumni
wow.
are here.
Okay, so it's going to be like almost, what, 800 kids
it's
on the...
It's going to be 800 people on the... Yeah, it's
awesome.
Going to be huge, and I think it's going to be a great halftime show. I hope you... you'll be able to see it, won't you?
Yeah, it's on YouTube as well right?
Yeah.
So.
Do you have to schmooze in your position with any... officials or administrators from the visiting team, whether that's Central Michigan or Richmond.
Sure.
Does Richmond have any people here today?
They don't. I reach out to the presidents of everybody who's coming to town, and so we had the president of Central Michigan here last week, and we reached out to the president of Richmond to invite him to, you know, be my guest, and I'm happy to do that. I think I was popping or something. I'm not sure what that was.
No, it's a cable. We're good.
We're good. It's the RV nature of our outdoor pavilion here. Yep. But yeah, we try to be generous hosts with everyone who come to town. I've already talked with Santa Ono for the Michigan State game. So we want to make sure that our Spartan hospitality is felt by everyone who comes into our stadium and into all of our sporting and other venues.
So a couple of years ago, my wife dragged me to Williamsburg.
Oh.
But I said, to make this part of what I will enjoy, I said, let's go back up through Richmond, which we're Detroit through in and out of. So we went over to the university. The university's beautiful.
That's what
I
heard.
That city's, well, I mean,
Richmond's beautiful.
It's a Civil War historical place, but it's a gorgeous city.
Well, you know, as soon as I learned we were playing, I had to go online to look at the university, but also to look at their mascot, because I'm such a big Sparty fan. You know, I had to go and see, what does a spider mascot look like? Have you looked this up?
No.
It's frightening.
All right,
I'm
going to check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
No, but you bring the topic of the visitors. I understand next week Washington is bringing 64 bands people.
Yes.
And they've got some plane that's the size of the C-140 cargo. They bring some massive plane. They have room for 60. They're not going to perform.
Yeah.
But wherever they sit, they're going to play. They've got 64
and of them.
And
we've got a place for visiting band members to sit and play. And we always play, and I hope everyone appreciates this, we always play the opposing team's
fight song.
Yeah. And during the pregame
and
routine.
And as we march in, and we do have a visiting member, either the visiting director of the band or some member of the community who is an alum of that university, conduct at the in the pregame portion of the work.
So, Teresa, I saw this week the university announced what undergraduate enrollment over 40,000, and with the graduate students in here, 51,000.
Over 51,000, our largest class of Spartans ever, and I'm really excited about that. That means that, you know, everyone is really thinking about higher education as a value proposition for their families and for the students who are coming, and it's an exciting time for us
on
campus.
What surprised me the most about that that news release, because I used to say this to Luana and your predecessor and so forth, I said, I just wonder how parents today, and we have two grandkids today, and as well as our parents do, are they going to be able to pay for college and that? I was surprised at the number of students that are here that are eligible for Pell Grants.
That's right. We have a large number, and $390 million in financial aid, from federal financial aid to our own aid from the institution. That means that we're making it affordable for our families to send their students to Michigan State, and they're opting to do that. They have a lot of options. As you know, the Common App allows you to put your application all across a variety of different kind of universities and college settings. And so students and families are looking for what's right for them, both from a financial point of view, but also from a from an educational, we hope, point of view.
And I think I forgot the number of different countries, the enrollment here this fall, they all come from.
143.
Is that what it is?
Yep, yep.
And do they all come from 50 states or close to it?
Yeah, we're at 50 states for the entire class, for the 51,000, and all 83 counties of the state of Michigan.
Cool.
So that's also a really important part of this. And we're the top draw for Michiganders to come.
And who decides how many students should be enrolled in any given year?
Well, that's a conversation with the provost and the president in the spring of each year. So we begin by looking at the academic offerings, the number of faculty, the number of advisors. As you know, we put in, and we talked about it last, at some point, we've put about $2 million into academic advisors. We're moving toward a 1 to 400 advisor to student ratio. We were at 1 to 2,000. We want to make sure that our graduation rate meets the needs of the incoming class. So we want to make sure that all the enablements for these students is available, including advising. So we think about all different aspects of academics. You know, this health and wellness center that we opened, we put the shovel in the ground on Thursday, I think, or Friday. I'm forgetting which day, but that's a part of what we're building to support the mental health and the well-being of all of our students. So we get together in the spring to identify what we believe is the right number to target. And then we go out and do our enrollment with John Ambrose, who's the director of admissions at Michigan State.
So it's an adjustment a bit for fans today with metal detectors now being used in Spartan Stadium. They've been at Breslin Center.
They have been. So and they've been at other venues on campus. And I think what Spartans know is that we want to make sure that everyone feels welcome, safe, comfortable in the physical environments. And so we've set it up so we think it's going to be fairly easy for folks to get in. And we believe that that's going to give a good fan experience from here on out.
It's a fairly common feature of any sports.
I don't think this is unusual. It was probably unusual for people to think that you would be in a 75,000 person venue without that kind of starting point. So we've had a lot of positive feedback on this, and I think for this first day, people are just going to have to get used to. You might have to get here a little early and, you know, enjoy some of the pregame a little bit more, talk with some other folks in the stadium, just make sure you get to your seat by that kickoff time. So
does the university own those machines?
Yes, we purchased the machines, and so those arrived, and they were installed for this game.
I mean, if you go through airport security, what amazes me through the years since 9/11 is when airport security start to ramp up from those airport security machines, say 20 years ago, to where they are now. It's amazing how accurate those things
they are. They are. And so, again, that's going to make people, hopefully you'll have an easy time walking through and yet still be able to feel safe.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll just become part of the routine.
I think that's it. It's just like going to Breslin or any other place.
Tigers games, Lions games, people are used to this.
Yep.
So the metal detectors today, next week is the alcohol. Are you comfortable with the preparation so that that will, quote-unquote, be a smooth beginning next week?
We continue to work to make sure that every aspect of all the new measures that we're taking on campus, we're ready for. And so I'm being briefed in a relatively frequent manner, and I have great trust in the people who are implementing this. So my expectation is it will be an appropriate fan experience, both for those who drink as well as for those who are non-drinkers.
Well, we know you're busy. We know you got a lot of things to do. We thank you for stopping by.
Thank you both.
I'll see you in a few minutes.
See you in a few minutes.
I don't think I'll get lost getting over there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
All right.
Go
Green.
Appreciate it. Go
Hope we see you next week with a 2-0 record, right? With Washington coming in here next week. Teresa Woodruff is the president of Michigan State University, and she graciously comes, and she has an event today. In fact, even yours truly got invited to that.
Yeah, how do I get on the list?
You know, like I tell some of the other Michigan State friends I have, I said, you know, you malcontents who can't get along with any. I think they invite because they want my wife there one way or the other.
Well, I'm not part of the beautiful people. I'm working on it.
All right.
You've got a bit of a head start. Why don't we go to break? But first, Tim, the defensive keys. All right, I'm going to play you in with that. Are you ready to do that for us?
Absolutely, do that. The defensive keys.
One
to
second,
we
got you some imaging first. Ready?
Oh, I got to do imaging first. Do the imaging.
Check it out. This is a real show now.
Wow!
It's time for the defensive keys to today's game, powered by Gazelle Wealth Management.
I mean, I'm used to just coming in here and arguing with Mad Dog for 2 hours, and then that's the whole highlight of the show. The defensive keys to today's game are brought to you by Gazelle Wealth Management. It's a terrific company, which I'll tell you more about, because Joe Gazelle, he's a superstar, and Michigan State hopes it's got superstars on defense today. The Spartans held Central Michigan to just one touchdown last week. That was in the secondary. Michigan State still has a lot of untested defensive backs who will try to, you know, get their teeth, sharpened today to get ready. ready for Washington's major quarterback, Michael Penix, who comes in here next week. It's going to be a bit different. The Spartans defensively, one would think, would overwhelm Richmond today based off how they stopped Central Michigan last week. Michigan State did not have any key injuries last week, so the key today is, can we avoid bad penalties? That would be personal fouls. That might be targeting. Are we lined up in the neutral zone? Did we rough the passer? If all that can be eliminated today, that still creates a culture of playing, so it's a clean type of game to get ready for an offensive juggernaut that Washington will bring next week. Can the Spartans get warmed up and make a good show today defensively against Richmond and hold Richmond down? Richmond got just one touchdown at home last week against Morgan State on the road. Will it be tougher to score and move the ball against Michigan State's defense, which still has a number of players who are looking for playing time this fall and need to impress the coaches with good play today? All right? The defensive keys have been brought to you by Gazelle Wealth Management. Gazelle takes a long-term view using prudent risk management. You can call Joe Gazelle himself, all right, at 336-7200. You can remember that, 336-7200, or visit Gazelle Wealth Management online, Gazelle, G-A-Z-A-L-L, GazelleWealth.com.
Thanks for that, Tim, and thanks to Gazelle Wealth. Let's go to break. That does it for hour number one of the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show. Hour number one was brought to you by Shoe Pan and Sons Recycling Industrial Services, and the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is also brought to you by Hudson Inc., Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, Price Right RV, MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine, Doubting Industry, and Gravity Smokehouse. We're back on the other side with a whole nother hour of MSU and college football talk here on the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM Lansing's Big Talker and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, all part of the Lansing Sports Network, LansingSportsNetwork.com. We're back after these words.
Want to be heard? Open the Lansing Sports Network app and voice your sports opinions now. More from the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show next. Lansing's Big Talker, 1240 WJIM Lansing and Classic Rock 94.9 WMMQ East Lansing, Town Square Media Stations. Another travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Next. It's another game day travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Here's Brock Palmbush.
No backups or accidents to report at this time. Traffic moving along at around normal speeds. Watch out for the construction. There is a shoulder closure 96 westbound between Weberville and Williamston. And also 496 both directions between Lansing Road and the Grand Avenue exit. That will be active until mid-November. There's also a lane shift on I-96 between Lansing Road and Washington Avenue. And that's due to construction, and that's also until mid-November. Taking a look at your game day weather, overcast skies, 66 degrees. Although the sun's trying to peek through, it will get to be partly sunny skies and a high of 72 by the time we get to kickoff. Game day traffic and weather brought to you by Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, home of the $3,000 minimum trade.
Five, four, three, two, one. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. A tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Shoe Pan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf. Now from FanFest at the stadium in the Price Right RV Studios. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Thank you, Voice of God Guy. Welcome back to the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker, Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and the Lansing Sports Network, LansingSportsNetwork.com. The Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is presented by Whitelaw PLLC. Jamie White is a proud Spartan, and he's built a full-service, nationally recognized law firm with a team full of experienced trial attorneys. Whitelaw PLLC's track record, well, it speaks for itself. More than $1.4 billion worth of results. Whitelaw PLLC, fighting for their clients, is their highest priority. WhitelawPLLC.com. The White Law PLLC Tailgate Show is broadcasting live from the Price Right RV Mobile Studio here from the FanFest area of Munn Field, just south of Munn Ice Arena. Price Right RV, own your vacation. 2022 and 23 model year in clearance is going on right now at PriceRightRV.com. Go green, go white, go Price Right. This hour of the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show is brought to you by Hudson, Inc. It's time to gear up for fall with a John Deere compact tractor from Hudson. 0% financing for 84 months on select tractors at Hudson, Inc. Hudson, Inc. has 19 locations in Michigan, including four right here in the Lansing area in Charlotte, Mason, Portland, and Williamston. Visit Hudson, Inc. online at Hudson, Inc., H-U-T-S-T-O-N, INC.com. I'm Beanie. You can hear me weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. on my show Offensive Minded on Lansing's only sports station, The Game, 7:30 a.m. Joined, of course, by the Dean of Sports himself, Tim Stout. You can hear him daily, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on The Game, 7:30 a.m. His 30-plus year running show, Stout on Sports. Brock Palmbush, big thanks to him. He's keeping us on the air, and he's back at the Price Right RV home studio, keeping you updated on traffic and weather conditions as well. Friendly reminder, make more time for your getting into the stadium today. It's the first time MSU has instituted metal detectors at Spartan Stadium. Might take a few more minutes. And speaking of a few more minutes, Tim, let's do a few more minutes to take a look at the top 25 scoreboard around the country, and then we'll zero in on a couple other Big Ten games going on. Top 25 action. Number one, Georgia. After a scoreless first quarter hosting Ball State, things have opened up a little bit for the two-time defending national champion. Georgia Bulldogs are up 21-0 with about 9 minutes left in the first half. Got any reaction to that, Tim? Or
the hurricane in the Atlantic that it's making its way north, is that affecting the southeast coast? Because we have Notre Dame and North Carolina State at a delay. Mm-hmm. That's in Raleigh. My oldest is there, and we also have Purdue is at Virginia Tech, and that's been delayed twice. Okay, and that's at Blacksburg, Virginia. Purdue leads that 7-0. Notre Dame leads 3-0, and both those games are in weather delays.
Penn State. 21-7 lead with about 12 minutes left in the first half at home over Delaware, the Blue Hens, right? Let's go out to the Big 12, a Big 12 Pac-12 matchup. Baylor had a 3-0 lead over number 12 Utes. Now we're locked up. Utah just kicked a game-tying field goal. It's 3-3 with about 9 minutes left in the first half there. Also in the Big 12, Kansas State up 14-3. Number 15 Kansas State up 14-3 over Troy, about 4 minutes left in the first half. And then the big noon kickoff, the big Kremlin propaganda game of the week on Russian state sponsored, Fox, is number two Colorado. The number 22 ranked Coach Primes are scoreless against Matt Rhule in his first year with Nebraska. It's zip-zip with about 7 minutes left in the first half in Boulder. What do you make of that, Tim? Are you a little nervous? I know you're all in drinking the Dion bathwater.
Well, Colorado gave up, 42 points last week to TCU. And if you watched the game, and I saw the second half, Texas Christian went up and down the field. Up and down the field. Colorado made a couple of key defensive plays that prevented points, but they didn't really stop. Nebraska, as you know, barely could move the ball against Minnesota and lost with Tom. So they had one touchdown in that game. Now they're at Colorado. We're near halftime. They still haven't scored. So Nebraska's offense has one touchdown in six quarters. That doesn't sound good. However, and Nebraska, by the way, plays here, you know, on November 4th. It's the last game of the season in Spartan Stadium, which tells me so far, if nothing else, Nebraska's going to be tough defensively in that game.
Yes.
But can they possibly score? Will they get better between now and November 4th when they play here? Because they got deep into Colorado territory. I don't know what happened. They didn't score. So anyway, but Colorado's already kicked the ball back, and Nebraska has it 1st and 10 at its own 29. So it looks like that's going to be a low-scoring game, which surprises me from the standpoint that the quarterback for Colorado threw for 510 yards last week and broke 9 school records in one game against the team to play for the national title, which to me is still the miracle of college football recently, is the Texas Christian. Thank you, Michigan. Played for the national title last year.
And virtually every name from that national championship game qualifying team is gone.
Well, TCU's quarterback, yeah.
The top receiver, Quentin Johnston, is in the NFL. The top running back is in the NFL. Much of their defense, which wasn't anything to speak of anyway, in the NFL
now. It looks like they miss them. one way or the other. It looks
for
like
sure, but it's also the Big 12 where defense optional.
Okay, so Michigan State plays at Indiana, and I think it's week 11 in November, so Indiana's home last. And boy, that crowd was a little lean. Indiana State was there, and they needed Larry Bird to play football. It was 41-14. It could have been a lot. It could have been a lot worse. Indiana won that, so they're 1-1 after they lost to Ohio State 20-3. Michigan State plays at Indiana later on in November, and then Illinois went to Kansas. Oh, I love Kansas in that game. Kansas, and then Kansas struggled a bit in the second half. Illinois came back, but Kansas won 34-23. So Illinois is now 1-1. So there are four Big Ten games at noon, four Big Ten games, including Michigan and Michigan State at 3:30, and four more Big Ten games tonight. It's the only way you can get them all on TV.
Were you surprised that Illinois struggled with Kansas' ground game? Because, man, they almost chucked up 300 yards on the ground against Brett Bielema and company.
But, you know, to Kansas's credit, that's a basketball school, and football there has been a doormat for years and years and years and years. And last night, on a Friday night, with a revitalization in football for them, and partly because of the portal, partly because of NIL, they had 45,000 people there for Illinois last night. I mean, they had a noisy crowd last night, and they're now 2-0. So they've got a quarterback. I don't know where they got him, but they've got a quarterback. They were up 28-7 at halftime, and then they didn't play quite as well in the second half, and Illinois came back a bit. But every time I watch those Big Ten West teams, I say, which one of these teams is possibly going to make it to the Big Ten title game? I've narrowed it down early to either Iowa or Wisconsin. I can't possibly see any of the other five making it, including Minnesota, and Minnesota won last week. And they got Eastern Michigan tonight.
So, mentioning Iowa, I want to talk about, I'm complaining about this whole Deion phenomenon and what an absolute circus sideshow it has become, but I think that might take second fiddle to the most comical thing in college football this year, and that is Kirk Ferentz's son, the Iowa offensive coordinator, Brian Ferentz, his contract, okay? So, we all know Iowa always has a very tough, stingy defense, and they seem to always have a very anemic offense. Last year, they were in the bottom 10 in the FBS, averaging just 17.7 points per game. All right, so Kirk Ferentz is under a ton of pressure over the offseason, right? You're only keeping this guy because it's your kid. You should fire him. This isn't good enough. So what did they do? They reworked Brian Ferentz's contract. Tim, I have never seen something like this. This is an absolute joke. It reads like an Onion headline or Onion story. In order for him to keep his job beyond 2023, Iowa must average 25 points per game on the season, and they need to win at least 7 games. If either criteria isn't met, his contract is terminated and he's out of a job. So listen to this. It looked like it was working. Nothing will light a fire under a guy's ass more than threatening to fire him. Because Iowa got up 14-0 in the first quarter last week in their opener against Utah State. It was like 7 minutes the game had passed and they had scored 14 points. That has to be a first in a while. And then speaking of records, do you realize Iowa took its opening drive kickoff down the field and culminated with a touchdown pass? It was the first opening drive of the season for Iowa to end in a touchdown pass since 1991. That kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
Well, to your point on the contract, that clearly could not have been approved by his father. All right, so that has to come from the university, and if his father can't dictate the terms of contracts for his assistant coaches, Houston, do we have a problem?
Well, I mean, I think that speaks to how bad the offense has been, because Kirk Ferentz is as much of an institution there as any coach anywhere in America, right? He's been there forever. He's the elder statesman in the Big Ten now. And the fact that Iowa's powers that be told him, hey, this is a problem, we're going to rework your son's contract, I think that just speaks to how awful things have been. And by the way, not off to a good start, because even though they scored 14 points in 7 minutes, they held on to win 24-14. So they're behind the 8-ball. He only scored 24 points. He needs 25 per game.
I saw some of that because they wanted to see how Cade McNamara looked in an Iowa uniform compared to how he looked in a Michigan uniform. Before I get to that bulletin. Colorado 3, Nebraska nothing with 4 minutes to go before half.
You know what, though?
Bulletin.
They ain't covering.
Well, I didn't cover it yet, but Colorado is on the board 3-0 against Nebraska.
Hold on, though. I need to go back. I need to pin you down on this because you've been doing this for 50-plus years. Have you ever heard of something as Mickey Mouse sideshow as a college football offensive coordinator's contract being tied to how many points they average on the season.
Well, what I don't understand is, why is it the head coach being the one that dictates the terms of contracts?
Because he's compromised. Conflict of interest. That's why. Clearly, he only has the job because of his last name and who his dad is.
I mean, it sounds to me as if the athletic director and the head football coach aren't on the same page now.
Yeah, but that can work. It's worked pretty well at Michigan the last couple of years. Those two guys don't even speak to each other. They got like a Simon and Garfunkel relationship.
Well, we'll keep our eye on that one. Nick Reischer is here, a member of Michigan State's athletic staff. We had a chance to visit with Nick on the radio earlier this week. 19 years, he was a superstar of the Lansing Lugnuts. Michigan State asked him to come to the athletic department and join the staff. Nick has a large part and a large role in creating the Meyer Fan Fest, which is on the Munn Field right outside Munn Arena, which is populated again today as it was last week for the game. I mean, it's completely separate from the football game itself, but gives fans and young fans something to do. Did you know when you joined Michigan, and how long have you been on the staff here now?
Well, this will be my fourth season. I started right before COVID.
And
yeah.
What year is this for the Fan Fest by Meyer?
Oh, probably the eighth or ninth season.
Okay, so it was here when you got here.
Yep.
Has it changed very much through the years?
Yeah, we continue to evolve like we try to do with everything as we, you know, set something up, learn about it, get some feedback from fans, and make it better. So, yeah, the DJ, for example, and the music, that was new last year. We started adding food trucks and a lot of the different desserts and things. A lot of the activation and things is kind of the basics of what we've done, but it's just a great opportunity for the family to come out and have some fun, a lot of games, a lot of different activities. It's just a fun experience as you're out tailgating and, you know, get a little stale of sitting around your car, then come on over here and check it out, and lots of stuff to do.
And you did a great job of that and more with the Lugnuts for all those years beforehand, so you clearly know what you're doing. I'm wondering, do you feel like in this industry, similar but different college football from minor league baseball, does college football feel the same kind of pressure minor league baseball does to, like, make the in-game experience and, you know, compete with TV? Because that's the real issue, right?
Yeah. I think it's completely separate beast, to be quite honest. I think your minor league baseball is more of your, you know, it's not necessarily about the sport. It's more about the entertainment. It's something to do with your families, where I think, you know, Michigan State and the athletics, I mean, there's a natural fan base built in, right? I mean, to add to that, we just really try to add a good time. I mean, we're not trying to build fans. I mean, of course, we always want to attract more fans, but it's not about trying to get that fanship. It's about, hey, what else can we do to enhance it? Let's make it better. We know we got a huge contingency of state fans. What can we do to make their game day experience even better? And that's a big part of what Meyer Fan Fest is all about.
What involvement was required from the Michigan State Athletic Department with the Big Ten Network here this morning with its live show?
You know, I would imagine quite a bit, but we've been a little bit separate from that. I mean, these guys, they get a road crew that come in and do this. I mean, they're just outstanding. They came in yesterday and set everything up. But, you know, we loosely allowed the space and let them come in here, and obviously we want those types of things. It's just better activation, better enhancement, again, as we talked about. I mean, it's just a cool thing to come out and see, and be able to see a live TV show taking place right here is just a cool experience.
So what else is Michigan State having you doing, and is a lot of it marketing related, and was it interested in you, frankly, because they observed, like Beanie just said, a lot of what you created with the Lugnuts, because no one, in my opinion, in sports, needs to have better marketing ideas across America, perhaps the minor league baseball, fair to say?
Absolutely. As I was talking about, I mean, minor league baseball, you're really trying to get families to come and have a good time. It's not about selling baseball or the sport. We're here, it's much, obviously, all about the sport. And, you know, I think I was just, you know, when I applied, I was like, oh, great, here's a guy that can come in and do this. I don't know. So, you know, I had known the staff here before I came over, so it was kind of an easy connection. And it was pretty seamless, actually. And I was pretty lucky and fortunate. I love this market. I love mid-Michigan. I just realized not too long ago that I've lived half my life now in the state of Michigan, so I think I'm officially a Michigander. And I was really excited to be able to turn right as opposed to turn left, stay in my same home, keep my kids in the same school, and not have to relocate. Because most jobs in sports, you're traveling all over the country.
Yeah.
And I got really lucky to be able to stay in the same market and work with a lot of the same folks that I worked with before. I mean, we have a lot of shared partners with the Lugnuts, so it was a seamless transition for me and I think for the team here as well.
And how many marketing ideas, if any at all, does Michigan State try to create for the other sports besides football, which is obvious?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of initiatives around that. I mean, obviously football, men's basketball, women's basketball. I mean, there's so much sports that are growing here. I mean, take volleyball, for example, moving over to the Breslin last year, just a great exposure for that program to come in and be able to play in a bigger stage. You know, but there's a huge marketing staff here that does a phenomenal job of really trying to continually learn, get feedback from fans. What can we do to enhance the experience? You'll see a lot of changes at game day that has taken place over the last year or two. It's been intentional. I mean, we realize that even though I talked about there's already the built-in fanship, you really want to make sure that they're, you know, enjoying themselves and really taking that evolution of how a fan experience can happen. So that's really what the marketing team does, and this is a big part of it. But, you know, also when you're in the venue and you're in a game and you're watching the game, how else can we make that game day experience even better?
Yeah, you guys have done a great job. Just like you did, it's no surprise with what you've done with the Lugnuts before this as a general manager. So,
well, and I don't want to take, you know, my job is really working with the corporate partnerships and a lot of the sponsorships and activations, a lot of what you see here. We have a whole separate marketing team that really does the in-game experience. So I don't want to take any credit for that. They do a great job. We work closely with them to you know, implement a lot of our partners' activations, but there's really a whole staff that dedicate their time. And it's not only in-venue, right? It's all the digital social media campaigns and websites and all the, you know, all-access programs and those types of things that the marketing team and Spartan Vision do an unbelievable job of. Second to none, in my opinion. I mean, our Spartan Vision team is, they've won Emmys and tons of nominations and tons of awards for all the content that they produce, and it's really learning and getting into the life of a student athlete and kind of the, you know, not necessarily on the field or court stand, you know, issues. They really get behind the scenes, and so they do a great job overall. You'll notice there's a lot of new kind of configurations of how the scoreboards and things are working this year. So we're continually upgrading. And when you get to Breslin this year, you'll see a whole new operation over there too.
I saw that, a new video board.
Yeah, new video board, new fascia.
It's like all one gigantic screen now, right?
It is. And Michigan State has done a phenomenal job of staying on top of the facilities, on top of the amenities, like updating video boards when they should be, as opposed to stretching them out 10 more years like a lot of programs do.
Sure.
So they've done a good job of staying up to date with everything.
Do the Big Ten schools and marketing share ideas for activities like this on all the campuses, or is it pretty much individual, each of them for himself?
I'd say a little bit of both. I don't think there's a formal, you know, I know like a lot of, like in Major League Baseball, for example, they have league meetings and promotional seminars and things like that, and there's certainly those types of things here, but I think there's shared best practices, of course, across teams, and of course you get closer to some teams than others, and then there's a lot of unique ideas that are kind of created and implemented on our own.
Well, I know you're busy, and it's and we got Washington in here next week,
we
so
do.
There's even more with that. And then the fourth consecutive home game, I would imagine that puts a stress on a staff, four straight home games.
That's why we do what we do.
That's right.
We love it. Game day, baby.
All right.
It's a sprint, right?
It is. It's a nonstop sprint. It's like a marathon length with sprint speed.
Nick, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking care of us. Nick Reeser, who's from Michigan State's athletic department, and we've known him for a long time, his 19-year run with the Lansing Lugnuts. Have a great game today, a great day today. Where else are we going today? Okay, you're listening to the White Law Tailgate Show. So next week with a 5 o'clock, I don't ever remember a 5 o'clock kickoff for a home.
Me neither, but
game.
This is the first year Peacock will have.
Is it just coincidence that 5 o'clock's happy hour in America and alcohol's here for the first time next week?
It is serendipitous. As we go to break here, we'll come back, get some more scores to you. We need to do the stat of the game on the other side, too, and some offensive keys. But we need to talk about the opponent a little bit. That's the Richmond Spiders, and we'll do that on the other side. The White Law PLLC Tailgate Show is also brought to you by Chandler's Top Shelf, A to Z Gutters, Alumni Hall, B&M Trailer Sales, Meat on the West Side, Jersey Mike's Subs of Okemos, Pizza House, and Gazelle Wealth Management. We're back here with more White Law PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker, Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and the Lansing Sports Network after these words.
Want to be heard? Open the Lansing Sports Network app and voice your sports opinions now. More from the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show next. Another travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center next. The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app, powered by White Law PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Chupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf. It's another game day travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Here's Brock Palmbush.
No backups or accidents to report at this time. Traffic moving along at around normal speeds. However, M43, that's Grand River Avenue, both directions between Spartan Avenue and Hagedorn Road in East Lansing. There's a single lane closure due to maintenance, and that's until the end of October. So heading into the game, from the east side. Be aware of that as you head through campus. Right now, weather-wise, overcast skies, 66 degrees. Although the sun is trying to peek through, it will get to partly sunny skies by the time we get to kickoff. A high of 72 degrees. Beautiful day for football. Game day traffic and weather is brought to you by Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, home of the $3,000 minimum trade.
This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, with your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell, powered by Whitelaw PLLC. Now from FanFest at the Stadium in the Price Right RV Studios, this is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Welcome back to the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker, Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and the Lansing Sports Network, lansingsportsnetwork.com, broadcasting live from that Price Right RV mobile studio on Munfield in the Fan Fest area. This hour of the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show is brought to you by Hudson Inc. It's time to gear up for fall with a John Deere compact tractor from Hudson. 0% financing for 84 months on select tractors at Hudson Inc. Hudson Inc. has 19 locations in Michigan, including 4 here in the Lansing area, in Charlotte, Mason, Portland, and Williamston. Visit Hudson Inc. online at hudsoninc.com. All right, Tim, I know you've only got a few minutes left with us before you go rub elbows with the high society types. I'm not bitter, but I'm just saying maybe you could give me an invite sometime. That'd be nice. Just throw me a bone here. I know I haven't been here for 50 years, but I think we're in the same tax bracket, so we both work here, right?
So far, you know. But
all right, here's what I wanted to get to you. I have the stat of the game here, and we've got a little production value for that, but it's right up your alley. It's the kind of thing that is, it's a Tim Stout special, let's put it that way. And Brock, I'm having issues with the board here with the hotkey, so maybe you, Brock, could hit that hotkey for me that says stat of the game right now.
Well, we'll see if he gets a stat.
Or not, okay.
Or not one way or the other.
I'm not saying it on here, guys.
I mean,
says, okay, maybe there isn't one. That's my bad. I'm sorry, Brock. My bad, not yours. Well, anyway, here is the stat of the game brought to you by MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine. Tim, buckle up. Michigan State is undefeated all time against FCS opponents with a 7-0 record. They're looking to make it 8-0 today against Richmond. I know this is the kind of thing that the Dean of Sports lives for. So I've collated the scores from MSU's prior 7 bouts with FCS Titans. Are you ready? In chronological order. The first ever FCS opponent for Michigan State football came in 2009, Montana State. MSU won 44-3. In 2010, Northern Colorado. State won 45-7. 2011, Youngstown State. MSU wins 28-6. 2013, Youngstown State again, 55-17 MSU this time. 2014, Jacksonville State came to town, and MSU rolled 45-7. Then in 2016 was the weird one. That was obviously an awful year following up the playoff year. They went 3-9, and they struggled with Furman before pulling away late 28-13. And then the seventh and most recent FCS showdown for MSU was Youngstown State's third trip to Spartan Stadium in 2021. State won 42-14. That's an average score across the seven of 41-10. The stat of the game has been brought to you by MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine. MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine is the official healthcare provider of MSU student athletes and you.
That'll be the score today, 41-10, just like all the previous seven average. Solari says on Twitter this morning that he found a line that says State's a 29.5-point favorite. So if they win,
really, there is a line somewhere.
He doesn't. I don't see where he attributes it to, but he says they're 29.5-point favorite. And by the way, I'll take State. But nonetheless, if they do win 41-10, that's 31. So they cover. Youngstown State is at Ohio State today. They were 7-7. But it's 28-7 Ohio State with 2 minutes to go in the half. Colorado, 10-0 over Nebraska.
That's probably enough, don't you think? Can Nebraska score 10 points in a half? I doubt it.
They say the quarterback for Nebraska, Shador Sanders, yeah. He's limping around a bit. They hit him hard. He's still in the game, but he's been limping around. I got more on that game than I do on this one because that game is more of a national game than this one is, but it changes next week. Did you watch Washington play Boise at all last week?
Yes, and I think they could have scored 100 if they wanted.
They could have, but they started slow, and I think defensively, if you're going to go after, I mean, I don't want to sit in the state coaches meeting Sunday night to figure out a game plan. I think State's got to think to themselves, is there a way, and there should be a way, and we need a way to move the ball consistently, run the clock, and keep that guy off the field. Because I don't think they can win a shootout with Washington. They're going to have to be able to agree to score and keep, you know, their offense on the field somehow. Because I think Washington's weakness, if it's the right term, is that you can move the ball a bit. Now, what I couldn't tell was, is Boise anywhere close to when Boise was really good?
No, they're not.
All right.
What concerns me is Washington showed this defensive alignment several times. It was basically Buddy Ryan's 46 defense with like eight or nine guys on the line of scrimmage, and they just kept going to it. Obviously, you know, it's going to get pressure. I'm just worried about MSU because of the offensive line issues with that kind of pressure package, because they appear pretty fond of it.
I think the issue today is injuries. Are you going to keep...
Why is there a kid doing the Dougie at me?
Because he wants you to keep from falling asleep from the guest analysis.
Oh, that must be it. He's doing his best Jair Alexander jogging on Justin Jefferson.
You know, but yeah, I'd be curious to know, in those seven previous games, how many key players got injured and couldn't play the next week in a blowout win. But nonetheless, injuries are injuries, whether the team you're playing is a good team or a bad team, because this is football and weird things happen. You can stumble over your own guy and break your ankle. For instance, I mean, Kansas City lost a key player in practice, and you know they aren't hitting each other in practice because that's just the nature of the way the game is. You cannot predict the injuries. Okay, so today, can you bury Richmond easily with a lot of points early on, but you don't get anybody hurt? And at what point do you pull key guys out of there? Because if nothing else, we have to have them, not only for Washington, but the Big Ten schedule starts the next week in what I consider to be a reasonably winnable game here against Maryland in 2 weeks.
That was the stat of the game, brought to you by MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine. MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine is committed to the athletes of mid-Michigan and beyond. At MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine, their goal is to get athletes into their office and evaluated within 24 to 36 hours for acute injuries. Call MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine at 517-884-6100 or visit them online at healthcare.msu.edu. I think that does it for you, Tim, right? You're out of here?
All right.
Dr. J's going to pinch hit for you the rest of the way.
Tell Dr. J the mic is all warmed up for him.
And you picked 41 to 10, right? That's the 41 to 10 is the Dean curse for today. Remember that. As Dr. J steps in, and while we transition, I will go ahead and present to you today's offensive keys.
It's time for the offensive keys to today's game, powered by Whitelaw PLLC.
We already talked about it a little bit, but the biggest, most glaring issue for Michigan State last week in a 31-7 win over Central Michigan was something that plagued the Spartans all season in 2022, and that was no consistent push from its offensive line. State ran the ball 31 times for 127 yards. That's about a 4.1 yards per carry average last week, which you might feel good about if that happened against Washington or during the Big Ten slate, but this was versus a MAC opponent. Yes, CMU has a good defense in the MAC. The Spartans' inability to impose their will up front on CMU's D-line is a major red flag, and it's even more concerning when you consider State's line is mostly healthy at this point. Owning the line of scrimmage has to be a focus for MSU on offense today. This group could really use a dominant day heading into their first true test of the season next week when Washington comes to town. An FCS opponent is just what the doctor ordered for MSU. Offensive keys have been brought to you by Whitelaw PLLC. Jamie White is a proud Spartan, and he's built one hell of a full-service, nationally recognized law firm with a team of experienced trial attorneys. Whitelaw PLLC's track record speaks for itself. More than $1.4 billion in results, and Whitelaw PLLC is fighting for their clients. That's their highest priority. WhitelawPLLC.com. Let's take our last break. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the scoreboard again, and we'll give our predictions, and Dr. J will be here and shake what the good Lord gave her. Come see us on the Fan Fest area of Munfield. It's a Whitelaw PLLC tailgate show, and we're back after these words.
Open the Lansing Sports Network app and voice your sports opinions now. More from the Whitelaw PLLC tailgate show next. Back with more of the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show on 1240 WJIM and 94.9 MMQ in less than 60 seconds. The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Chupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf. It's another game day travel update from the 1240 WJIM Traffic Center. Here's Brock Palmbush.
No backups or accidents to report at this time. Traffic moving along at around normal speed. You're coming in from the east side, from the Detroit area or southeast Michigan. Westbound 96 between Weberville and Williamston. There is a shoulder closure due to maintenance. That's until next week. Also, westbound Grand River in East Lansing between Spartan Avenue and Hagedorn Road. Single lane closure due to maintenance. That's until the end of October. Taking a look at your weather. Overcast sky, 66 degrees. Again, the sun is just trying to peek through. It is going to get to be partly sunny. Right now it's 66. By the time we get to game time, it'll be 72 degrees. A nice day for football in early to mid-September. Game day traffic and weather brought to you by Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, home of the $3,000 minimum trade.
This is the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker, 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by White Law PLLC. Now from FanFest at the Stadium in the Price Right RV Studios. This is the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show.
Welcome back. We're wrapping up the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show here on 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker, Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and the Lansing Sports Network, lansingsportsnetwork.com. And we're broadcasting live from that Price Right RV Mobile Studio here in the FanFest part of Munn Field, just south of Munn Ice Arena. And this hour, the second hour of the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show, is brought to you by Hudson Inc. All right, Dr. J is here filling in. Pinch hitting for the Dean of Sports. So we trade out 50 plus years of ancient sports knowledge for a far more glorious aesthetic experience.
Oh yeah?
So thank you for doing that.
So welcome.
Why don't we take one last look at the top 25 scoreboard before we get out of here, okay? And you can just kind of riff on this as we go.
Okay.
Number 5, Ohio State, seems to have it figured out now. They're up 28-7 over Youngstown State at the half in Columbus. Number 7, Penn State, all over Delaware. It's 35-7 Nittany Lions at halftime. Halftime in Boulder. Maybe the dam broke. Colorado is up 13-0. Number 22, Coach Prime,
ooh,
is over Nebraska 13-0. I think that's probably over. I don't think Nebraska can score 13 points in a game, let alone in half of one.
Well, how much did they get against Minnesota?
10, wasn't it? 13-10 was the final?
Yeah,
it wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
Nebraska has fumbled the ball away 3 times already. You know, Matt Rhule's a hell of a coach, but the things that have to change there for them to be good again are not the kind of things that go away in one offseason.
No.
And what I'm talking about is they have habitual cultural issues on the field. They turn the ball over the worst possible time, right? They take penalties at the worst possible moment. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that doesn't go away with one offseason.
No, I think eventually he'll get to.
Me
too. He'll figure him out.
But he's been good everywhere else he's been. But the thing is, even at Temple and Baylor, where he eventually turned them around, he had 1-2 wins in the first season at both places.
Right.
So it's gonna stink for a while.
Yeah.
Purdue is up 7-0 at Virginia Tech, but that game is delayed with 6 minutes left in the first, part of that hurricane that's bearing down on the Atlantic coast. The entire ACC at peril of the hurricane, except for new members Stanford, Cal, and SMU, because that makes sense.
In California.
Yeah. Nothing makes sense anymore. Anyway, let's take a look at the Big Ten scoreboard, too. All right? We just did top 25. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, actually, I think we're good there. Yeah, let me go to more top 25 scores. Georgia, up 31-0 over Ball State at the half.
Yeah, you knew that 0-0 wouldn't last long.
Notre Dame, number 10, Fighting Irish. They're up 3-0 at NC State. But that game was delayed in the first quarter, too, because of hurricane-related weather. Number 12, Utah, surprisingly, at least to me, facing a 10-3 deficit at halftime at Baylor. Baylor lost at home last week to Texas State. Keep an eye on that one. Number 15, Kansas State, up 21-10 at the half against Troy. Okay, that's enough for scores now. Why don't we do a little bit on Richmond, Dr. J? Just, look, you gotta respect the opponent no matter how insignificant.
Right.
So, and I haven't seen a single Richmond fan walk by. That doesn't surprise me either. You?
No, not really.
Okay, so Richmond, alright. Last week, they lost at home to Morgan State. That was an FCS duel. 17-10, absolutely awful on offense. They turned it over 4 times. They couldn't even break the century mark in rushing yards. And their first-year starting quarterback, Kyle Wickersham, or Wishersham, you may have heard of his dad, Jeff, who threw for 7,000-plus yards at LSU back in the mid-'80s. He was sacked 5 times, and he threw for just 169 yards. Richmond head coach Russ Hussman, he called his offense's effort embarrassing and blasted his new co-offensive coordinators for employing a scheme that's too complicated. Well, it's probably not going to get any easier today going on the road to a Power 5 opponent where you're being paid to get mercilessly hammered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, again, I think today is just about getting out alive without any injuries and getting your offensive line a little bit of confidence going into next week.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a lot more to talk about beyond that for Richmond. By the way, the Spiders, about a half hour ago, we talked to MSU President Teresa Woodruff, and she mentioned that Richmond Spiders mascot is a haunting sight. I have Googled it. Can confirm.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Do you still have it pulled up?
It's an anthropomorphic spider named Webster.
Webster.
And it's spelled W-E-B-S-T, capital U, capital R. Get it? Like University of Richmond,
yeah.
Webster.
So cute. Okay,
Google it. It is a haunting image. You should do that on your own as long as you're not driving. And speaking of driving, if you're heading in, you should hurry today. Safely, though, because this is the first game where Michigan State will have metal detectors at Spartan Stadium. It probably will add a few more minutes to your, hustle to your seats. Dr. J is looking up the Richmond mascot,
oh, no.
And she looks aggrieved.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Why is he red?
Well, their colors are...
Are they red?
Blue and red, I think. Or purple.
It would somehow be better if he was purple. I don't know.
Well, look, they're the only team in college sports that uses the mascot Spiders. So it's unique. It's just they got to do a better job. They got to make the mascot more lovable and less terrifying. Not good for marketing.
Oh, my goodness.
One last thing to talk about, I think, before we get out today. You know, conference realignment comes up all the time. Did you see this, Dr. J? Yesterday, this is a fascinating story to me. Yesterday, Oregon State and Washington State, otherwise known as the Pac-2, because that's all that's left.
Oh, no.
Have filed a lawsuit to stop the Pac-12 from holding a board meeting this week because they suspect in said board meeting the other 10 schools would vote to dissolve the Pac-12 and divvy up its assets.
Oh.
Now here's the thing. I'm not a lawyer by any means at all. But I think Washington State and Oregon State have a point because according to the Pac-12's own bylaws, and you can find these online, when a member school even announces that it's leaving the conference, it surrenders its vote in board matters. So how can they have a board meeting and vote to divvy up what's left of the Pac-12 when they've already announced they're leaving and therefore, according to their own laws, don't have the authority to do that? I see why Oregon State and Washington State are trying to stop that.
Yeah, they can't. They should be the only ones with a vote.
Yeah, they want to protect as much of the assets as possible, right? Because they're left out on an island.
Oh, they're going to be in trouble, yeah.
I think the plan is, according to the reporting, Oregon State and Washington State are going to try to keep the Pac-12 brand.
Really?
And basically merge with the Mountain West.
Oh, that would make sense.
But it will turn it into a 14-team league. It'll
okay.
just be the Mountain West plus Oregon State and Washington State, but it'll be called the Pac-12.
Okay.
But that can't be a Power 5 conference. I'm sorry, it just can't.
Yeah.
I still hope it turns out well for them because I'm very fond of Oregon State.
The turnover chainsaw, how can you get better?
Go Beavs. Also, one of the cooler, more unique color schemes in college football.
Yeah?
Not many teams can pull off the orange and black, except for Charlotte High School, of course.
Of course.
But it's a nice look. It's very unique. Yeah. And they just went through this massive, expensive overhaul of their stadium, too. And then this happens.
Oh, no.
It's you hate to see it.
Those poor Beavs.
I do love my Beavs. Yeah, I hope it works out for them. This will be interesting to watch, though, because the Pac-12, the 10 that are leaving are trying to hold this meeting this week to basically carve up the cadaver and take all the assets and leave Oregon State and Washington State screwed over even further.
Yeah, that's not right.
No. Pete Thamel has an excellent story about it on ESPN.com. You should read it if you want more info on this. It's fascinating stuff. And this thing is getting very legal, right? They want a temporary restraining order, which would keep the meeting from happening. We'll see. The drama here is never ending. Mm. And I wonder what, like, the next phase of realignment is.
Why wouldn't they try to join the Big 12?
Because the Big 12 doesn't want them.
Oh.
It takes two to tango. Mm. And the Big 12 is going to 20 teams, right?
Why can't they be 22? Take my poor Beavs.
They don't see a value in them. Mm. And remember, conference realignment is not about making your conference as big as possible. It's about making your revenue sharing check each school gets as much as possible.
Yeah.
So if you get to the point where you're just adding schools for the sake of adding schools, if they don't increase the overall value of the broadcast deal, i.e. if their market value isn't higher than the average already, it's just bringing down everyone's cut of the pie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why the Big Ten didn't want Washington State or Oregon State, because they already got Washington and Oregon.
Yeah.
There's no point to add the other ones.
Right?
I mean, it sucks for them, but that's the reality. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect they will survive just in a more diluted knockoff version of the Pac-12. What a shame.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, you know, Trev Alberts, the AD at Nebraska, said the next round of conference realignment is going to be more calamitous than anything we've experienced so far. I just don't know how that is, because who's left?
Right.
The only whale left, really, is Notre Dame, and that's just not going to happen for a while. The money is not the issue for them.
Well, no, I think they're going to join the SEC, though.
just to say,
give
the Big Ten a big middle. Well, I don't think so. If they're going to join any conference, it's going to be the ACC, where they already got one foot in the door with the deal where they're in the ACC for practically everything else, and they play like five football games a year with the ACC. I guess Florida State and Clemson, since they're kind of upset with the ACC's TV deal, maybe. Mm. But, like, who's really left? Unless we start poaching other ensconced teams, right?
Like, yeah.
But I don't see an SEC school joining the Big Ten.
Why would you want
for
to?
Example.
Yeah.
What if the Big Ten got Alabama?
Ooh.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't see that happening. But, hey, who knows? You know, 14 months ago, if you had told me the Big Ten would have footholds in every single state on the continental Pacific coast of the United States, I would say that's absolutely nuts. Doesn't make sense. And then if you had told me the ACC, Atlantic Coast Conference, would have teams in California and Texas, I would say, what are we doing anymore?
Do you think Texas Tech would leave the SEC because
they're
Texas
in the Big 12?
They're in the Big 12. Okay, who's... What are the teams that left to get away from the other in-state teams?
Oh, Texas A&M originally
Texas A&M.
Left the Big 12 to get away from Texas.
Would Texas A&M come to the Big 10 to get away from them again?
Maybe. The only conference that would make sense is the Big 10, because it's the only one that pays more.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be the, like you're saying, how Notre Dame would not choose the Big 10 when joining a conference elsewhere just to, like, you know, give one final middle finger to the Big 10. I could see Texas A&M doing that.
They're like, come on, we tried to get away from you. I'm leaving again. Bye.
Yeah, that would be pretty baller. I don't know. I mean, would the Big 10 want them?
Why not?
I think probably because that's, believe it or not,
it's a Texas market.
That is one of the most lucrative college football programs.
Yep.
I know they don't do anything on the field, although Jimbo, he went and hired Bobby Petrino, the most controversial guy in all of college football probably, and it looks like it's working so far. Texas A&M has awesome receivers, including Mohsin Mohamed's kid. Good job keeping that legacy guy in town, guys. What the hell? Anyway, that'll do it for the White Law PLLC tailgate show here on 1240 WJM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, the Lansing Sports Network. Want to say one last thanks to all of our sponsors, who are, of course, White Law PLLC, Hudson Inc., Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, Price Right RV, MSU Healthcare Sports Medicine, Doubting Industries, Shupan and Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, Chandler's Top Shelf, A to Z Gutters, Alumni Hall, B&M Trailer Sales, Meat on the West Side, Jersey Mike Stubbs of Okemos, Pizza House, and Gazelle Wealth Management. Thanks also to the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, Dr. J, Jessica Gibbons, and Brock Palmbush for their help today. We'll be back next week. The White Law PLLC Tailgate Show returns Saturday, September 15th, as the Spartans look for revenge against the 8th-ranked Washington Huskies and their Heisman contender quarterback, Michael Penix. We'll take the air here on 1240 and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ at 1:30, taking up the Spartan Media Network pregame coverage at 3:30. Kickoff is at 5. But today, it's all about Richmond. So until then, for Tim Stout, for Dr. J, for Brock Palmbush, and everyone here at the White Law PLLC Tailgate Show, I'm Beanie. Go Green!
Lansing's Big Talker, 1240 WJIM Lansing, and Classic Rock 94.9 WMMQ East Lansing, Town Square Media Stations.